I'm glad you're here. We are in the book of Exodus. I've never gone through the book of Exodus in a way that is chapter by chapter and verse by verse through it. And so I'm excited to do that. I've highlighted things in Exodus and gone back and referred to it at times, but this is my first time actually walking through it. And so we are doing this. This is really a whole book about hope. And so this morning, I'm going to start out with this one statement. What you do with your life is important. What you do with your life is important because God loves you and has a plan for you to make a difference with your life. Now, what I'm saying is that everyone's life is important, not unimportant. Would you agree with that? So the reality is what you do with your life, because God loves you and because God's chosen for you to make a difference with your life, he's got something in mind for you. So today I want to talk about that. Do you know what God's plan is for your life is the question. Today we're going to look at essentially in kind of the normal Christianese terms, and I try to stay away from Christianese because some people are used to that and some people are not, and I try to just say it in a way that is clear for today. But I want to talk about God's will, and maybe a clearer way to say that for us today is God's assignments. God's assignments. In Exodus chapter 3, we're in the book of Exodus, so open there with me to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at 3 for a second, get to chapter 4, and spend the bulk of our time in chapter 4. In chapter 3 and throughout the book of Exodus, it's interesting. When God speaks, God says this amazing thing over and over and over and over again. He says, I will do this, I will do that, I will, I will, I will, I will. And when you look at the original word, it's a covenant that God is making with the people. It's a promise, it's a commitment that he is making. In chapter 3, we'll see it several times, and this is where I get the whole theme from for today. Chapter 3, verse 10. Come, I will send you. He's talking to Moses. Come, I will. Here's what I'm doing. I'm making this commitment to send you. And then the next one, go down to verse number 12. Trying to find that in my Bible. There it is. Okay, but he said, I will be with you. So Moses responds and God says back, this is my commitment to you that I will be with you. Here's my commitment. You go down further and you can see it in verse 17 then. It says, I promise that I will bring you up out of affliction of Egypt. Here's my commitment. Here's what I'm going to do. I will. Here's my plan here. Verse 20, go down further. And he says, so I will stretch out my hand. Here's what I'm going to do. You don't have to worry about it. This is what my plan is. I will do this. And the next part, I will stretch out my hand, strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will do in it. Verse 21, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. So here's what he's going to do. I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this. And then you keep on going. You'll see it in chapter 4 again, and you'll see it in 5 and 6. When God speaks, he continues to say over and over and over, here's what I'm going to do. And so God even says, here's what I have. I have a plan to make a difference in the world. And then he chooses people within this. He's choosing to establish different people to make a difference with their lives. So he gives assignments to people to fulfill his plan. So let's stop. What's your assignment? What's your assignment? I know, kids are like, really? I have homework assignments. And I'm not talking about assignments on Sunday morning. This is different. This is totally different. This is cool, okay? God's assignments are two things. God's assignments are general and specific. General and specific. Generally, and here's the reality, in a general way, there are some things that we all are given to do. So we all have general things that we're supposed to do. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, you'd look at that and you'd say, we are to meditate on God's law day and night. So we're all to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15, Paul says this, that we are to study God's word to be approved workmen. We're all to do this. That's general. That's our general assignment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you want, you can turn there with me real quick. I'm going to read this text to you because it says it in very specific terms. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 2 kind of runs into it. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. So Paul's speaking to the church in Thessalonica. For this is the will of God. Here's the general thing. Your sanctification, that you would abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his body in holiness and in honor, not in passion of lust. And so we would look at this and say, okay, here's a general thing. We're all given this. Would you agree with these statements? I mean, here's God's will, that you would be sanctified, to be set apart for God to do something different. And we'd all agree that sexual immorality would be a problem. How many of you are okay with your spouse cheating on you? Anybody? No one. Wow, what a shock. And here's the reality. God's general assignments, we would all agree with and say, yes, that's a good thing. How many of you like to be bullied at school? Takers? Takers? How about at work? At home? No, but here's what we love. God's general assignment is we should be kind to one another, loving, tender-hearted, and when somebody makes a mistake, we shouldn't beat them for it. We should forgive them. I mean, these are God's general assignments. It's simple to be able to look and say there's always a benefit to following God's general assignments. And then you go down to chapter 5, verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians. He gives a list of these things, and he concludes it with the will of God. So in verse 14, he says, we urge you, brothers, to admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Could you imagine that on 295? We all look to do good to one another. What? Right? Then he says, rejoice always. Could you imagine a church service like that where the church came in and rejoiced always? Oh, I'm sorry. Then he says, pray without ceasing. Then give thanks in all circumstances. So he's given a whole list of things and saying at the end of this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's not, it's a very general thing. It's for all of us at all times. This is God's general assignments. And Moses understood that. To follow Christ would be to follow through with the general assignments that God has given. Now, in the will of God kind of perspective, this is God's moral will. And now you go further, and there's the specific assignments. Now, this is where things get weird. Here's what Christians do today. Christians say, here's my mantra. My mantra is to beat on people that don't follow through with the general assignments that God has given. So here's what we do. We say, if you're not doing this, I'm going to beat on you for that. You don't fit in with a club that's supposed to be this way. And I say, stop. Those general assignments are for those that are following Christ. Outside of that, sometimes the people outside of that do a better job with some of those things than we do. I'm just saying that's for sure. But it's not our job to be the hammer or the beating person of the whole world for not doing those things. It is our job to be the light in this dark world by doing those things. You see the distinction? Some of you are like, I don't know. Okay. Rewind and play that over and you'll get it eventually. Okay, so here's what he says then. The next thing is specific assignments. To have a specific assignment is the personal assignment that God gives to individuals. It's that I'm given this specific thing to be doing as I follow through with what God has for me. This is God's providential or personal will. It's what college do I go to? Who do I marry? Where do I live? What do I buy? How do I give? Where do I minister? And the list goes on and on and on. It's specific. It's personal about what God wants for my life at this point in time. Now, Christians make this really weird. I mean, really weird. Where I've heard people say, well, God spoke to me. Now, time out. I have never heard God's audible voice speaking to me. Okay? Now, I know some people would claim that they have. And generally speaking, the people that claim that they've heard God's audible voice speaking to them, I would say, careful, okay? Especially if it doesn't go with this. Because this has been preserved for thousands of years, there's a lot of faith that I put into what he has given here for us. And so anytime God speaks to us, and here's how it generally works out, and here's how I see it in my life and other people's lives, that God speaks in a way to us that he speaks to our heart and mind. And it's very mystical. And I can't really describe it fully. I can tell you about experiences where I'm like, wow, that was God speaking. I didn't hear it, but I heard it. You follow me? I've really confused you. But here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to go into this realm of not understanding God working in our lives. I want to get into a place where we understand how God works and be able to hear things. And we're going to go through this a little bit further today. Here's the other thing. Within the specific assignments, it seems like everyone has a different opinion, which makes it even more confusing. Okay? I believe God wants for your marriage too. I believe God wants for this too. And then you get a lot of confusion, and there's some challenges there. But that's a whole nother conversation. You can see that actually in the book of Acts and other passages as well. You'll see that in Exodus too. So God's specific assignments, it's knowing the personal assignment that God has given to you. And we'll talk about that throughout the message today. Now here's where I want to pull back and make this huge statement, because this is important. The more you are willing to do the general assignments, the more you're willing to do the general assignments, the easier it will be to receive the specific assignments. The more you're willing to do the general assignments, the easier it is to receive the specific assignments. Now, that seems like such an easy thing, but let me illustrate that, okay? I like to play the guitar. So this morning, I'm playing the guitar and just kind of goofing off, and here's what I know about the guitar, okay? I understand with the guitar, here's the chords. There's G, C, D, A minor, E. Okay, and I can give you a whole bunch of chords. Are you impressed? Okay, I'm not, because that was easy. Okay, that was the simple things. That's just general. That was me just knowing the basics about a guitar. I don't know past the fifth fret, pretty much. These are frets, by the way. So I don't know the upper part of this guitar. There's a lot of things I don't know yet. But if I work hard at it, I will get to be better. I saw this video today to illustrate my point. Show this video. This kid, he's either 16 or 18. Does it matter? Watch this. Watch that all day, couldn't you? He's good. Like, you couldn't listen to me play all day. You'd be like, is he done yet? Right? But you look at this guy, and he keeps playing. You're like, what are you doing? Look what he's doing with this guitar. He's playing up here, down here. He's hitting me down here. All right. Okay. I just lost the crowd. Like, hey, can you stop talking? I'm listening to this guy over here. You see, do you get the point that there's the general things that if you're not willing to do the general things, you're not going to get to the specific things. In a general sense, if I don't work on the basics of the guitar, I'll never get to be a virtuoso like that. I won't be anyway. But I'm just saying, here's the reality. If we don't work here at the basics, We don't go any further. It's kind of like Karate Kid. You remember the movie back in the 80s? This is a great movie. You remember Karate Kid? And okay, and you remember the first thing? The kid, I forget his name. Him. And so, you know the movie. And so he asked Mr. Miyagi. Yeah. Okay, so you know it. So he asks him, he says, please teach me. And what's he do? He takes him out to his car or his fence or whatever, and he says, wax on, wax off. Right? And he's like, what? You're just making me do work around your house. No, I'm not. And here's what he's doing. He's teaching him the very general things about defending himself and building up his strength here so that he could do the specific things down here. And he's doing all this, and he finally gets this frustrating point, and he goes and he shows him, yeah, but watch. And he shows him these techniques. Here's the problem that we have today. This is a huge pause that I have for us today. The problem that we have today is that many people today, they disagree with or they question the general things that God has given to us. And because we question the general things, we will never get to the specific things over here. If you deny God over here at the basics, you don't get to see God work over here at the huge things. That's massive. We think that magically we can become Karate Kid if we don't wax on, wax off. We think we can become a virtuoso if we never pick up a guitar and we just go play it in front of somebody. It doesn't work. In the general sense, as we follow God's assignments, you'll never follow God's specific assignments if you're not willing to follow God's general ones. And if you deny them or push them aside or say they're not relevant for me, it's not something that I think I agree with, when you do all of those things, here's what happens. Over here, you're denying the opportunity for yourself to receive this assignment that's over here. So, the more you're willing to do the general assignments, the easier it will be to receive the specific ones. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. It's to say, okay, God, you're present here. You know what you're doing. I'm acknowledging your presence. I'm acknowledging your assignment. And I'm acknowledging where you want to go. So in all my ways acknowledge him, and here's what he will do. As I'm following through with this first level of trusting God in the general things that he's given, he will direct my path. He will tell me, here's what's next. And so often, we have no idea what's next because we're not following him in what's today. So if you're wondering, hey, what's going on with my life? What am I supposed to be doing? Start here with the general things. And then God will continue to show you where he wants to go. Psalm 119, 105, the law of the Lord, it's a lamp unto my feet. I love this because here's what it looks like. It looks like turning on my light on my cell phone. When I do that at pitch black, middle of the night, and I'm trying to walk around, how much light do I really have? Enough for me to walk. But what I would prefer is to have stadium lights to see everything in the way I'm walking around. And that's what we want in life. We want stadium lights, and here's what God says, oh no, this is how it works. As you follow through with the general assignments that I'm giving to you on a daily basis, I'm giving you the light for the path that's just this flashlight that you see a little bit around you. You know the next step, and as you take that next step, I'm going to lead you into this specific assignment that you're going to be able to take a leap into that next step, and you won't know 5 steps in front of you. You're not sure if that's a bear you just heard over there or if it's a moth, right? Either way, you're scared, but God's got you. That's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path by giving you the light that you need every moment of the day for every step that he wants you to take. So here's where we find Moses. We talked about this a little bit this week, where God comes up to him and he says, this is what I have for you. And we understand, here's the background. Moses was already doing the general assignments, right? He was already saying, I'm willing. Hebrews chapter 11, we talked about that, right? Where he says, I'm choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. And so he's over here saying, I'm willing to do whatever you want, God. And I know I could be in the palace. I could be with the people in the palace. I could have all these grapes fed to me with all these people that just feed people with grapes. That's kind of the impression I get. I could have this white linen, and I could have a gold thing around my neck, and I can be just like the Egyptians. But instead, I'm choosing to be with the people of God instead of the people in the palace. I'm choosing to be identified as I'm a follower of God instead of I'm a follower of Pharaoh. It was a big contrast. What was it? It was a very simple thing. It's the general assignment that God gave. The general assignment is, here's my identity, and here's who I'm following. And so that's what Moses is doing. Here's my identity, here's who I'm following. And whatever happens, it's just what's going to happen. I'm just going to keep following him. And as he did, he goes to this place where, and we talked about this last week and the week before, he goes to this place and he sees these horrible things that are happening to his family, his friends, his people. And he steps in this, and I talked about a Popeye moment. My wife said, I don't think people know what Popeye is. So you should Google it later after the service or YouTube it, and you'll see Popeye the Sailor Man. Popeye the Sailor Man. Anyway, and so he has this moment where he goes and he strikes down an Egyptian, and we would really wonder, is this murder thing okay with Moses? Was he in God's general assignment or not? I don't know. I'm not going to debate it. I just know that he was following and he was just passionate about keeping people safe and passionate about his people. So we'll leave it there. And then he gets in this argument, or gets in between this argument that two people are having, saying, guys, why are you doing this? You're tearing your family apart. Stop it. And they say, get out. And here's the reality. As he is following God in the general assignments, the people of God, the people that should be saying, yo, listen, we need your leadership, we need your help here, they pushed him out. And so as they pushed him out, he left, and left for a long time, never intended to come back, I don't believe. Because he set up his whole family, he was in this other land where he was totally content and willing to raise his family. Now here's the amazing thing. God jumps in, and last week we looked at this, where God jumps in, has this burning bush, and says to Moses, hey Moses, I'm calling you to this special assignment. So my assumption and expectation with Moses is that he's still doing the general assignment in his regular life, because he can hear the voice of God. He's not opposed to the voice of God. He hears the assignment, and he's willing to follow the assignment, although he did have some apprehension about the assignment. We do understand that in chapter 3 and chapter 4. And so here's the general, or the specific assignment, and here's my point. God's specific assignments. Now, point number one, God gives the specific assignment. I don't come up with a specific assignment. You don't come up with a specific assignment. God gives a specific assignment. How does he do this? Well, in Moses' time, he's doing this through a burning bush. And he has a burning bush out there, and I'm not asking for you to pray for God, would you give me a burning bush? I'm not asking you to do that. And with Gideon, another guy who's following God, he hears God speak and he says, okay, hold on a second. He's a person that has no courage. And I mean, he's this wimpy little guy that God inspires with courage. And he's saying, okay, I don't know if this is true. So I'm going to throw the fleece out in the morning. If the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, then God, it's your plan. And then the next, he sees it really happening. He's like, okay, there's a problem here. God, let's do it backwards, because that was too easy for you. You know, he has no concept of really the amount of courage that God really wants for him, but he still has to go and move on and follow God in that. Now, that was a specific assignment that God gave to him. It wasn't of his own. Now, chapter 3, verse 10, here's the specific assignment. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. There's his assignment, beginning to end. I'm having you bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. That's it. There's your assignment. How many of you would jump on that? I wouldn't. How many of you are detail-oriented? Yeah, you know you are, right? And the people around you, like, they are. They drive me nuts. They want me to pick up my underwear and fold my, whatever. Okay, so there's some detail-oriented people, and I think Moses is a little bit detail-oriented, where he's saying, hey, listen, hold on, time, wait a second. You want me to do this specific thing? I got some questions. I need some answers and things like that that are going on. And really, there's a lot of self-confidence that he lacks, and he's too confident self or not confident, whatever. And he doesn't have a God confidence is what's going on. So God's giving them this specific assignment to bring Israel out of Egypt. He was content. He already had a plan for his life, but God interrupts his plans and gave him a special assignment. So God gives special assignments in different ways, and here's where it gets fuzzy. Pastor Garris, been spending some time over there at his church. He's last week he painted the auditorium, and he asked me to come over and do some work with him. So the last few weeks I've been going over and helping him out do some different things on his church building, and it's been a blast. Rick Crosby's been coming over with me, and we've been doing some work together on this, and it's been cool. Years ago, Pastor Garrison, he's in the heart of Camden. Okay, he's his terms. I'm in the hood. And that's where I want to be, right? Because he wants to reach people in the hood. How do you know? Well, it started with following God's general assignment. God's general assignment is I need to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God loves me, I want other people to understand that God loves them too. And I want them to come to a point where they surrender their life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Man, what an amazing thing. And so he's sharing that with people. And as he does, God says, here, I want to put you in a position or in a different geographical location so that you can do this more effectively. So he sends him to Camden so that he can effectively reach people that are there in Camden. How did he know? It was God leading him through different things. He sensed God speaking in his heart and mind that this is where he needed to go. Very simple. And I can give you all kinds of illustrations of people that they had the same kinds of thing that happened to them, where it was just a simple, I sense that God is leading me in this. This is where the greatest discernment is necessary. The greatest discernment is in, is it God speaking, or did I have pizza that's coming up weird in my mind? Right? Or is this something I watched this thing on TV and it was this dog and it made me cry because the sound of the music was there and it made me go this direction. What is it's the discernment of knowing if this is God or not. And here's how you know. Here's how Moses knew, and this is our example for us to know today. Because here's the reality. Sometimes it's difficult to know if it's from God or others or you. We can deceive ourselves even. It could be a distraction, or it could be an assignment that's for someone else that they put onto you. Have you had that before? So Exodus chapter 4, we continue down, and we see here's the reality. As he has this conversation with God, he gives these different reasons why he shouldn't go. He even says, choose somebody else, and God says, oh, no, you don't. This is my plan. You remember? I will send you. Moses, we're going to do this conversation for as long as it takes, but I'm sending you. That's what you get in the beginning here. And so you come to the end, and you see him finally saying, okay, that's where we're heading. That's where I'm going. And you get down to chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. We already looked at this before last week, and so I want to reference back to this because here's what God does. When God calls you to something specific, God does this amazing thing, in that he prepares you for that specific assignment. He prepares you for it. And here's what he does. He gives him several things. He says, what's that in your hand? It's a staff. Throw it on the ground. He throws it on the ground. Remember last week? And it turns into what? A snake. And Moses ran down off the hill and said, I can't do this. Okay, that was me. And so he goes and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick up the snake, and it'll turn back into a staff. You really want me to do that? And he's crying, tears coming out. I'm scared. And he picks it up and it turns into a staff. Moses was not as scared as me, okay? And so he does that, and then he does the other thing. Put in your hand inside your cloak, it's going to turn to leprosy. Put it again, it comes out, and it's not. And he does the other thing, and he says, here, I want you to take water and pour it, and it's going to turn into blood. And he's got these three different things to identify that he is on a mission from God. He gives him literally the gifts to be able to do what he's called to do. If you're not given the gifts to do what God's called you to do, then I'm going to say that you probably are not the person that's called to do that. I'll never forget the one of my professors, one of the most gifted preachers I've heard, Ken Rudolph. Mel, remember? Ken Rudolph is one of the most amazing speakers I've heard on campus. And I loved, went to Bible college and we had chapel every day. And some chapel speakers were like, they put you to sleep. And then others, you're like, it is great. And when we knew Ken Rudolph was going to be there, we did not take a cut for chapel. We could not wait to be there and to listen to what Ken Rudolph had to say. He's still preaching. And I heard his son just a couple months ago preaching. His son is phenomenal as well. It's amazing. But Ken Rudolph's backstory is this. And Ken Rudolph said he was scared to be in front of people. In high school, he was terrified to be in front of people. That was not his thing. He did not want to be anywhere near being in front of people. But God called him to be a pastor. He's like, what? There's no way. I can't do that. I can't stand in front of people. I'm terrified of this. And what God did after that was he gave him the gifts to be able to stand up in front of people and to proclaim God's message to the degree that he delivered these compelling messages over time that people were just drawn in an amazing way. It was obviously God's gift. I've been there with people that have said, man, I believe God's called me to do this. And then I'd stop and say, okay, awesome, I see that, but I don't see any gifts that go alongside of that. I think that gift is for somebody else. I think that gift is that you're burdened there because you're a generous person and you should be giving to that. Sometimes that's what God's doing. There's the discernment. Do you see that? It's discerning that understanding, like, what is God doing? Is this for me? Is it for somebody else? Or what part does God want me to have in this? Maybe it's for God to be having you pray for that person or whatever it might be. But oftentimes when we look at this, we have to stop and we have to look, did God give me the gifts to be able to handle and take this step and do what he wants for me to do here? And so that becomes a filter for God's specific assignments. Then you go down further. Into verse 18, so Moses, in verse 18, this is his beginning of his journey. After his conversation with God, Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go back to my brothers in Egypt to see whether they are alive. Now here's what he's doing. He's confirming God's assignment through others. He's simply going back to his father-in-law, and he's getting permission. His father-in-law doesn't realize this at the time. He doesn't realize that he is the voice of God now. He is either confirming or denying his request. God's assignment is confirmed through others. So Jethro, very simply, then responds to him. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Go in peace. I want you to do this. Many bad decisions. Have you made a bad decision ever? I want to invest in that. And you know, oh, that was really bad. I want to marry so-and-so, not the person next to you, but somebody else. And it was really bad. You know, or I want to go to this, and it was really bad. We have lots of bad decisions. Many bad decisions are avoided if you get wise counsel. That's who Jethro is. It's not that people talk you out of following God. It's that the wise person knows how to help you see that this is God's will or what God is saying in that. So Jethro is giving discernment. Here's how our church makes decisions. Our church makes decisions not just by me coming and saying, this is what we're going to do today. No. God works over time. Where God often works in me as the leader, the pastor of the church, and then I take it to the elders and say, hey guys, here's what I sense God's doing here. Here's what I believe God wants us to do next. And they begin to pray, and we talk about it. We have a meeting, two or five or whatever it is, to talk through this thing that we're about to do, we're thinking about doing in the future. And we pray about it, and we don't bring anything in the last 21 years that I've been here, and you can ask the elders, in the past 21 years I've been here, I don't think I'm wrong here, I don't believe we've ever brought a decision to the church that was not unanimously voted for it in our elders' meeting. Am I right by saying that? I think that's right. Okay. So that's a huge thing. Why would I do that? Because I believe that God's specific assignments are seen by the wise people around you, like Jethro. I see it in other people's lives, and in my friends' lives. I see it in Matt and Kathy. Matt said this over the years as he's made decisions. He doesn't make a decision unless his wife is on board. And there's been a couple times where he said to me, she wasn't on board and I did it anyway. Man, what a mistake. You know, I look out at Crystal and Ed and some of the decisions you made in this past year where you stepped out, and I know there was a unity there of, hey, we need to go forward in this. It's the same thing. It's a Jethro thing. I think we need to step out and do this, and we work together as a couple to make sure that we're going in the right direction, taking the right steps together. And sometimes it's not the right timing when you're not together on things. It's very rare. It's very rare. It's not that never. It's very rare to move forward without your spouse being on board. Okay? Rare. So that's what he does. And so Jethro sends him out, and the Lord then said to Moses and Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who are seeking your life, they're dead. So Moses, he took his wife and his sons and had them ride a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the staff of God in his hand. Now the next few verses, verse 21, and the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I have put in your power, but I will harden his heart. Here, I'm predicting this. Here's what will happen. It's not going to be easy road. I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh. Now, this is important because this is the summary of why he's doing what he's doing. It's a picture of God's love for us. He says, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. Israel is my first. This is the relationship that God, it's not just, here's a people over here I made. It's no, this is my relationship with them. It's my firstborn son. And I say to you, let my son go. I heard that they're in slavery. I've heard what you've done wrong to them. I heard the pain that I know all about this, Pharaoh. Let them go that they may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will do this. I will kill your firstborn son. What a significant statement. You're killing my firstborn son. Listen, if you don't let them go, I will kill your firstborn son. And we're going to see how God fulfills that in the next couple of weeks here. The next couple of verses are weird, so I'm going to jump over that. Verse 27. You can read that because you're curious, and you'll think it's weird too. It says, then the Lord says to Moses, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. And behold, and Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. And Moses and Aaron went together to all the people, all the elders of the people of Israel. So here's what happens. God's assignment is confirmed through others. Aaron says, oh, this is my assignment. I get it. God's already been working in me there, so I'm jumping on board with where God is leading us to go. And so he does. They go back to the elders and to the people of God. And here's what happens. In verse 30, Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and he did the signs and in the sight of all the people. You remember Moses didn't want to speak in front of the people, but Aaron was good with it. And so he does, and he does all these signs in the sight of the people. And the people then did this. They believed. They believed. And when they had heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and they worshiped. Here's the amazing thing. God puts Moses and Aaron onto an assignment, a special assignment. They're doing the general assignments. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of Moses' life, where he's just going through the day, just doing what he's got to do, going to school or feed the flock or going to work or whatever he's doing, just doing the general assignments of I'm being kind, I'm rejoicing always, I'm giving thanks and everything, I'm praying all the time, and I'm just doing the general assignments. God breaks in and says, hey, listen, I'm sending you over here. Why is he sending him there? Because the people before that are praying for deliverance. So there's people praying for deliverance, and as they're praying for deliverance, God goes and moves over to Moses and says, I heard my people cry out to me, and so I'm sending you, Moses, out of this area because you've been following me. I'm assuming because you're doing the general thing that you're going to be willing to do this specific assignment. So I'm sending you over, and Moses is like, whoa, hold on a second. And finally says, okay, I'll go. And he goes and he speaks to the people. And the people, it's as if they're having a prayer meeting where they're praying. They have finally some time to get alone with God. And there they are as a people saying, man, God, please deliver. And it's almost, here's a picture I have. Moses and Aaron walk in and say, hey, listen, we've got a message from God. Let me show you that this is God. And they go and they throw the staff on the ground and half of the room scatters right off to the side of the walls or whatever. And he picks it back up and says, whoa, what's going on here? This is from God. He puts his hand in the coat and pulls out and it's leprous. Puts it back in and pulls out and it's clean. And they're looking like, whoa. This is a God moment. Something specific is going on. In that our prayer back here has been heard by the Almighty God, and he's doing something. He used Moses 300 miles away to do this amazing thing. What if God put into your heart, because you've been doing the general assignments, you're over here just going through life, and what if God puts into your heart a specific assignment that you're called to do, and that you are specifically answering the prayer of this one over here or this group over here? Would you be willing to go? This is just the beginning, because the fine print is next. But I don't have time for that. So next week, come back for the fine print, because it's so important to know the fine print of hearing and knowing God's assignments. So here's what I want to do. As we close out today, I want to encourage you to start with the general assignments. Are you doing the general assignments? Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. I'll meditate on God's law day and night. 2 Timothy 2:15. I'll study God's word, and I will know it so well. I'll be an approved workman that needs not to be ashamed. I'll pray without ceasing. I'll rejoice evermore. I'll give thanks in all things. That is our general assignment for every single day. Are you doing it? Let's do it. Why not? Don't look at God as he's crazy. Like, you want me to rejoice evermore? Do you know who I'm married to? Do you know my financial situation? Do you know who I work for? No. Do you know that God hears your prayer? Do you know that God is bigger than all of that? Do you know that God has a plan for you? Do you know that God loves you bigger than all of those things? That's what gives us cause to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks. So do his general assignments this week. And next week, we'll finish the message on this special assignment, because you got to hear the fine print before you take that step. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for calling Moses to do this huge assignment. And we get to read the rest of the story. We know how it ends. We know how you prevail. We know how you do it. And he's simply just a puppet. So God, thank you. Thank you for choosing and calling us and giving us assignments. Thank you that we don't just go through this life just making a paycheck and waiting for the weekends and just trying to get through. But thank you, God, that you've given us assignments. Lord, help us to fulfill the general ones and be faithful in those. And then, Lord, help us to discern what your specific assignment is over time. And we give you praise. Through Jesus, I pray. Amen.